Warning, the following ZipRecruiter radio spot you are about to hear is going to be filled with F-words.
When you're hiring, we at ZipRecruiter know you can feel frustrated, forlorn even, like your efforts are futile, and you can spend a fortune trying to find fabulous people, only to get flooded with candidates who are just fine. Fortunately, ZipRecruiter figured out how to fix all that. And right now, you can try ZipRecruiter for free at ziprecruiter.com/zip. With ZipRecruiter, you can forget your frustrations because we find the right people for your roles fast, which is our absolute favorite F word. In fact, 4 out of 5 employers who post on ZipRecruiter get a quality candidate within the first day.
Fantastic.
So, whether you need to hire 4, 40, or 400 people, get ready to meet first-rate talent. Just go to ZipRecruiter.com/zip to try ZipRecruiter for free. Don't forget, that's ZipRecruiter.com/zip. Finally, that's ZipRecruiter.com/zip.
Your check, your cooperative. As a farmer-owned lender, Farm Credit MidAmerica shares the success of the cooperative with our customers, which is why we've returned more than $1.25 billion back to our customer owners over the last 8 years. It's proof being a part of our cooperative pays. Patronage is an annual decision made by the board of directors to return earnings to eligible customers. To learn more about patronage and eligibility, visit fcma.com/patronage.
Welcome to Outsiders Podcast. I am your host, Brandon Woodall. To my, who am I going to do? My left. Hi, Bryce.
Hi, Brandon. How are you? We'll get there.
You know.
We'll get there. It's fine. I'm Bryce Armstrong. And to my, it's not really left because there's a wall there.
Across the table.
It's a buffalo.
It's a nice picture. To you.
I'm Andrew McKinley. And to my left.
Brett Welty.
Oh, and we have a new co-host. What's your name?
Jim Cole.
Ooh, Jim Cole. By his smooth voice, you know he is a serious man. Would you introduce yourself to us and our listeners, the two of them?
With no preparation?
Other than Jim Cole?
Yeah. Tell us about yourself, Jim. Our listeners all the way across to the Netherlands want to know who you are.
Well, I came to know Christ in 97.
Before Bryce was even born.
I lied. I came to know Christ in 87.
Oh. That is before I was born.
I lied.
Yeah.
So you're a liar.
Yes. And I can tell you, if I were to describe the difference, I would say I used to watch black and white, and now I see color.
That's good. Well, if you haven't noticed, it's been a while.
It's been a minute.
There's a lot of reasons why it's been a while.
I have twice as many kids.
You do. I have one as many. One too many?
Me too.
I don't know. I'm joking. But yeah, we've all kind of gone through a lot of things the last year or so.
It's
been more than a year.
Yeah. I mean, if you look at my desktop real quick, though, there's 1, 2, 3 episodes we didn't release.
Throw them away.
I don't know.
They're all terrible.
I debated on. I don't know about that.
I don't know. I haven't listened to it.
Well, neither have I, obviously.
I never do.
Maybe you should.
Maybe I should.
Maybe you should critique yourself.
Maybe I should get better at this. Because I'm just rambling at this point. Brett.
Yes.
You're usually pretty wise.
Okay.
Usually.
Yeah.
Should we listen to ourselves?
Great question. What are we doing? Are we going to talk about a topic? Or
Eventually we are.
What are we doing?
We'll get there.
We can't do life update. We can't. Who's going to condense a year in?
Oh, yeah. We're not doing that.
Okay. Yeah, we're not going to do that.
Okay. Good.
We're not doing that. We're all here.
We've been here the whole time. Sitting here the whole time, waiting for Bryce to remember how to work the computer.
What's a computer? I don't know what I'm doing.
Yeah, what were you saying? Where are you gonna go? You're gonna give some input,
bro. I don't remember. Input to what?
Oh,
we said don't call on you, and all of us are only talking to you.
we really trust you.
Yes, we do.
Oh,
we really depend on you.
That's unfortunate for you, I guess.
Andrew, do you have anything?
We should talk about truth.
Well, do you have?
And we should talk about how. Are we still introducing ourselves?
No.
What's happening right now?
It's been so long.
Yeah.
The funny thing at the beginning.
Oh.
Oh, you're supposed to do something funny.
I got nothing.
You're the funny guy.
Andrew, you're the funny guy.
Yeah, I know. I'm the good dancer.
Hold on a second, then. Yeah, hold on.
Because we're a five-piece now, so it's like we're like the Backstreet Boys.
Oh, I was going to say NSYNC, but yeah.
Backstreet Boys are way better.
Ah, no.
That's dubbing. Don't worry. They're going to kick me out of the party, too.
Ooh.
You got something?
Just a second.
You're just sticking. Are you still just fake coding?
I'm searching.
No, exactly.
I'm
searching. It's a real computer.
I wish we were fake coding.
Let's see.
Now.
It's we're getting ready to go to church retreat in a couple weeks. So let's do something summery. Perhaps some dad jokes.
What does that have to do with summer?
No, it's dad jokes about summer.
Oh,
it's very specific.
Calm your beans.
calm your beans.
Beans.
That's the kind of input we need.
Yes.
I shouldn't look. I want to be suppressed.
Yeah, okay.
Close
your
eyes.
Oh, I know. I can't look. I want to be suppressed.
Go like this.
Yeah.
All right. Exactly. What did the ocean say to the beach? I'm letting you off with an easy one first because you might have actually heard this one. There you go. Yep. Okay. All right. Good. Okay.
Wow.
I wasn't sure if this was going to be an anti-joke or a dad joke.
No. These are dad jokes. All right. Where do birds stay when they go on vacation?
The beach.
Someplace cheap.
That's okay. All right. All right. We're here.
Why aren't lobsters generous?
I'm not good at this.
Why?
Shellfish.
My
engage how late it is, but how funny these are to these guys.
My Uncle Joe sent me one of these. Do you want me to read it to
you? Is it appropriate?
Is it Uncle Joe is it your actual Uncle Joe?
He's my Uncle Joe.
Okay.
Did you hear about the king who was 12 inches tall? He was a terrible king, but a great ruler.
You said you just won?
That was it. Oh. It was so right. I'm like, he doesn't talk to me for like 3 months, and then here's this.
That's better.
Thanks,
that's better
man.
With that, yeah.
Thanks, I needed Uncle Joe. That. Appreciate it. So
funny. He saw it and thought of Brandon.
Like, oh no.
If anybody knew Brandon, the joke has a punchline, and it makes sense. This is not Brandon's wheelhouse.
Wow.
He prefers an anti-joke.
Yes.
No punchline.
No punchline.
No punchline.
No punch. Big I'm one. Nonviolent.
All line. No punch.
Here we go.
All right.
I can feel it. I can feel it.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
What happens when ice cream gets angry? A meltdown.
Wow.
My laughing is just watching Bryce's reaction.
Yes.
I'm actually not laughing.
It's much more enjoyable than the actual joke.
Which obviously I'm radio.
Can see that. Yeah.
How many more you want to do?
which is code for
let's be
done.
There's
a lot, and they're not numbered. So
I'm just wondering.
There's just bullets.
Because that would be a good segue into truth, because ice cream does melt,
which is true.
And that's just true.
You are
that's a great
horrible
segue.
Transition.
Nah, it's first. Well, their first Bout Hall of Famer here.
I'm not gonna say it. I'll keep.
Oh my gosh.
How many blueberries grow on a bush?
Don't drink.
All of them. We'll end it there. I think that's a good one to end on. Yeah.
That was good. Yeah. That one was good.
All right.
Well,
now that we're loose.
Now that we're loose. We're loosened up. I'm kind of tight.
Everybody use them facial muscles they haven't used in a couple weeks. Smiled a little bit.
Yeah,
I've been stressed out.
Hey, life is life, my mans. But no, we thought we'd come back and we'd talk about a pretty, we would think it'd be an easy subject, but we're going to talk about the truth. Well, what is the truth? Because apparently there's so many different truths that we just can't keep up anymore. Right? So it seems like.
I've been told that it's different things to different people.
I know. But which isn't is a, there a set truth?
It's a load of bull.
Yeah.
A what? A
load of bull.
I thought you said a loaded bull.
That's what I heard too. I was very like, confused.
Whoa. I never heard of a loaded bull before.
This bull is loaded for bear. I don't understand the stock market.
I don't either. That's true. Yeah. So, how should we get into this?
I mean, you could just read.
I can't. But is it, do any of you have like...
I'm sorry. I got a question.
Yes.
Why start with truth?
Good foundation.
I agree.
You set a foundation of truth. Mm-hmm. And it can guide you through life. And our truth, obviously, is set on the word and on Christ.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. If truth is a foundation, that means it has to be solid.
Yeah.
It can't be wishy-washy, and it can't change from circumstances to circumstances.
And it seems like our lives are supposed to adapt to that truth that is solid and that is a foundation. Like, it's not supposed to adapt to us. We're supposed to change to it.
Well, there's so many things that if you're a follower of Christ, there are so many things that, like, if any one thing isn't true, it unhinges everything. And yeah. At that point, we're just crazy.
Yeah.
We're just doing something that doesn't make any sense. If like, there's so many links in the chain that have to be true.
Yeah.
And if any one of them is not, then it's all a waste of time.
Yeah.
But we know that it's not, because we know the truth of the word, the inerrancy of Scripture, and that's enough for us to have that foundation.
I have a question, because something you said made me think of it. So, I think we're running under the premise that truth is wishy-washy, and it's not real solid right now. So what has replaced truth in culture? So if it used to be that there was a general type of truth that we all agreed with culturally, now it would seem like everybody has my truth.
Yeah.
So what replaced truth?
Opinion.
Lies. Opinions?
Yeah, lies.
Okay.
Lies, opinions.
But what at like the foundation? I'm asking, I don't know if I know the answer, but what is the foundational thing that everybody goes to that replaced truth?
Feelings?
You think it's probably feelings?
It's opinion and preference. Yeah, it's
yeah.
Preference. Literally now, about that's anyone who says, "Well, that's true for you, but not for me," is ignoring the definition of truth, which is
it's a
cyclical thing to get into.
It's odd that
statement can't be true, though.
Yeah,
So that statement can't be true.
Exactly, though. But they're going to say, "But truth doesn't mean the same thing to you and me." And then it's...
No, I understand, yeah, but that statement still technically can be true.
It's going to just keep breaking down, but you can't argue with someone that believes that.
Oh, yeah,
is what I'm saying.
Right, you're right.
Like,
you're right. You're right.
Yeah, there's no, like, way to rationally explain yourself out of it, I don't think.
No, I don't think so.
Not really. No, I think... And to go on that, I think that's kind of snuck into Christianity, too. It's like, well, this is my preference of Christianity and all that. Instead of trying to come back to solid orthodoxy, we're kind of like, well, I feel this way about this certain thing, so this is what I'm going to believe, instead of trying to seek the real thing. Do you have something? Okay. You had your mic going, like, Jim's coming in hot.
We've got to
here
it
comes.
Mic stand.
He's just ready to go.
Whenever. 1 John 4:1-6 would say this. This is one of our key verses tonight. Dear friends, do not believe every spirit, but test the spirits to see whether they are from God, because many false prophets have gone out into the world. This is how you can recognize the Spirit of God. Every spirit that acknowledges that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is from God. Every spirit that does not acknowledge Jesus is not from God. This is the spirit of the Antichrist, which you have heard is coming, and even now is already in the world. You, dear friends, are from God and have overcome them, because the one who is in you is greater than the one who is in the world. They are from the world and therefore speak from the viewpoint of the world, and the world listens to them. We are from God, and whoever knows God listens to us, but whoever is not from God does not listen to us. This is how we recognize the spirit of truth and the spirit of falsehood. Want to dive deep into that?
Go. Yes.
Do it.
You know, there's... there's a lot of voices in the world with lots of different opinions and ideas that are contrary to what you just read. One of those voices would be like humanism, which stands in direct contrast to the scriptures.
Yeah.
Like when to say the scriptures are going to say we're basically evil and we happen to make a few good choices, and humanism is going to say we're all basically good and we happen to make a few bad choices. Mm. And we start thinking that way, then, well, there's all kinds of really bad decisions made.
Well, then with that mindset, can you justify your bad decision in a way?
Meaning if the premise is you're basically good.
But I just make a bad decision.
Well, again, isn't that essentially how we buy all lies? Is, well, it feels right or it makes sense to me. I think one of the most dangerous places we can be is in my own perception, this seems right. I mean, how many times have we said, I joke about all the time. Every time I make a decision, I think it made so much sense at the time.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
But then you get there and you're like, that was definitely not the right decision.
Yeah.
So I think our perspective, if our truth claim is only at the level of our own perspective, like we run the risk of not having the full perspective and then ultimately missing the boat.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I guess here's a question I'm thinking of too. Is it a lot of people want to have an open mind about a lot of things, and can that get carried away?
Mm.
Can we be carried away with being super open-minded?
Ooh, we were just talking about this last couple of weeks with, my wife's family goes to a Bible conference every year, and one of the speakers was talking about, I think it wasn't Piper, but someone associated with Piper wrote an article about toxic empathy, or sin. No, the sin of empathy is what it was, and the idea that, we're getting to, like, we're trying to be so, in touch with people that we're ministering to that we forgive. Or not forget, we let sin slide to the point where it's like we're not confronting new believers on their sin. We're just letting it roll. And the speaker that was talking about it was saying this is not right, that we should be more empathetic. And I think that he was like 80% right, but didn't finish the thought.
Yeah.
We do still need to confront sin eventually, but it's okay to like empathy up to a point, but then also, all right, you're a believer, you have to be confronted with your sin now, kind of a thing. And he was saying, no, we don't have to go that far. And so I think that we were talking a lot about, sorry, my train of thought kind of derailed there. The idea of...
So would you say that he would get to the point where he wouldn't even confront, like he's saying that empathy is always right and there's never a bad... So is he overcorrecting?
Yes. I think he's overcorrecting that empathy has become like the foundation, and then everything else is built off of that. It's like if you can lovingly confront them, go for it. But if you can't, don't worry about it.
Yeah, just leave it alone. Which is funny because a few nights later, there was another guy who pretty much, without saying it, he heard that sermon. He was a pastor there that heard that sermon. And then a few nights later, this guy is up giving his sermon. He's like, yeah, we can't do that. Like, we have to confront the sin.
Yeah,
we have to confront it. They can't just be blinded. Like, you can't just let it go.
Mm-hmm.
You have to confront the sin. And you have to
lovingly... Because if nothing else, it's a biblical command.
Right. You have to lovingly go in and be like, yo, just because you feel this way doesn't make it right.
Yeah.
Well, it's like, I think you and I had a conversation the other day about like people should know us by our love, mm-hmm. and not by like almost like not by our dog, like our dogma, mm-hmm. right?
Mm-hmm.
We should be like, we should confront sin in love because we've been rescued mm-hmm. from that sin and we've been loved pretty deeply by a Father in heaven that, like, you know, we don't deserve grace or anything like that, but it's been given to us freely. And so I think it'd be like telling someone with a disease, well, I'm not going to tell them because it's going to be really hard to tell them. And then they find out, I had a disease and you didn't tell me.
Yeah.
I was like, oh, Well, I didn't want to hurt your feelings, but it's not about a feeling. It's about, like, the truth.
I didn't dive a little deeper into that analogy. It's like, so nothing's wrong with you, but I really need you to take this extremely dangerous medicine with really awful side effects.
Yeah.
But for no reason.
Hey, that actually happened to me.
For no reason. No reason at all.
Yeah, so part of the conversation we had was, and again, I mean, we're kind of gonna go everywhere, and that's fine, yeah. but it was, you got to kind of separate the issue and the individual. And what I think happens, especially when it comes to empathy, is we should be empathetic or caring to individuals without changing our stance on the issue. So if the topic is truth, there is a truth that we have to hold to. It's scripture.
Yeah.
We just saw the spirit of truth versus the spirit of error. So there is truly a right and a wrong answer in a situation. So, for example, I mean, pick any cultural, you know, personal sin. It doesn't matter what it is. Yeah. But we have to say, this is what the Bible says.
Yeah.
So that's the issue. And we can't falter on that. Right. Empathy comes in with, there's an individual, real person, a real soul that is attached to this issue. And where I think people mess up is they try to talk only about the issue and have no concern about the people involved. Or they're so concerned, and it's probably what I think the speaker did, is he's so concerned about the people, he's letting it bleed into the issue. And he's saying, we don't have to go after the issue because that could hurt the person. Well, in reality, we've got to keep them separate.
Yeah.
The way you speak in teaching in the public square about truth needs to be rock solid. And how you deal with individuals is done in love and kindness, not hiding the truth from them, but speaking the truth in love. And that takes wisdom. This takes truth. It takes wisdom to be empathetic. Truth is truth. And I think what happens is we muddy it, and we either get weak on the issue or we get too strong on the person. That's what I see are the two camps, is you're too strong on the person or you're too weak on the issue. And in reality, we've got to be firm with the issue and kind with the person. That's how I see it anyway. That's what we talk about.
That's cool. How do we do that?
Well, Jim's going to get in here. He's going to solve all the problems. I'm just an idea guy, okay?
Well,
I'm the visionary.
We have kind of like two thoughts on the table, so I want to back up just a little bit, because one of them is being how do we speak to people about truth and showing doing that in love, mm-hmm. and those kind of things. And you talked about two different camps. And so that leads into the other question on the table is my truth versus your truth kind of thing. Because the reality is, I live in a bubble, and we each have our own bubble, and we each think that our bubble is the most central bubble on the planet. And the reality is, if I buy into that, I'm deceived, and I know that I'm deceived. The question is, the bummer is, if I knew how I was deceived, I could fix it potentially. Mm-hmm. And if I'm not willing to open up to that, to find out what the real truth is, then I'm not going to be able to move forward. You know, I'm going to build a life on lies, which will eventually crumble.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah.
That's good. That's really good. I guess
you made another statement. I can't remember exactly how it went, or question of, how do we explore into the other ideas or concepts of the world, and how do we move forward from just that, you know, to find the truth, if you will. Yeah. And I think we need to make sure that we're anchored, because we can weigh into a lot of things, and we can explore a lot if we're anchored well.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Oh yeah. Yeah, I would agree with that. I think if you have a good foundation of what is true and what is a lie, and there's so many, like, information is changing just by the second all the time. And when, like, I think a lot of times when I'm exploring different kinds of thought or theory, I guess would be a good term for it, it'd be because I hear it more often, like, things come up and you start to hear it in the public arena. And I think there needs to be more Christian voices in the public arena, kind of like, no, that's not true. Like, you can't do that. You can't say that. Like, there has to be I think there's a book I was reading, and I'm finding that this idea kind of goes to a lot of different points of life, but it was on the Psychology of Money. You read that book, Bryce? But
I can read sometimes.
Yeah. But it was talking about like setting a tent pole. Like, so putting, it was more or less like set a tent pole for where you want to be financially and then try your best not to move that tent pole. But I would say that with the same way of like seeking truth that only comes from God, set your tent pole, be like, this is my standard, which would be the word. This is my standard, which would be living a sanctified, holy life. Don't like do your dang, like not to work for your salvation. This isn't a works based salvation thing, but like set your tent pole, like this is where I stand and it is not going to move.
Mm-hmm.
And make that an obvious thing in your life.
Yeah.
Like, don't hide it.
I love the tent pole, the tent stake concept, but the scriptures is more like the tent. Yeah. The stake is more like it's about a relationship with Jesus Christ.
Yeah.
Goes in the ground. That does not move.
Yeah.
And so finding out what are those truths, those stakes that are going to hold my tent, and we'll find that in the scriptures.
Yeah, I've got three points.
Wow. That we can good Trinitarian.
Yeah, trying my best.
Nice.
He just counted.
Yeah.
Well, that's how many fingers he has left after the accident.
We don't have video anymore, so that could be real.
People think that might be true. It's not. Brandon has
it
all
might
nine.
Might be true
fingers.
For me.
Whoa! It might be my truth. I might see my hands and only see three fingers.
I identify as less fingers.
Yes. Is that a thing? Anyways, the less fingered. So, I've got 3 points on this: how to seek truth and live your life on the foundation of truth, which comes from Christ, is ground yourself in Scripture, seek wisdom through prayer and guidance, and then engage in community and fellowship. So I'd like to get some of you guys' opinions on how do we ground ourselves in Scripture?
Read it,
yeah.
It's kind of the first step.
I would also say, to the tent pole analogy.
Yes, go ahead.
When it comes to questions of things that the Bible speaks of, what is your ultimate authority? So not just read it,
yeah.
But
yeah.
You know, so obviously there are things that are not in the scriptures, and those are things that we can learn from. I think about math equations and okay. Science. There's so many things that the Bible doesn't directly speak on, and there's just a great joy in learning and growing. And I think God made us to be inquisitive and to learn about the heavens. I think that's all good.
Yeah.
But when push comes to shove, if there's something in the scriptures and the world is saying something different, you've got to decide the temple needs to be. Scripture is the ultimate authority on the things it speaks of.
Yeah.
And so reading it to know it, because you can't know it, because what are we talking, we say this, the Bible is the word of God, but like, do we understand that God spoke to us through his chosen people that
yeah.
breathed out by the Holy Spirit? Like, God speaks to us. We hold in our hands or we have on our phones literally the words of God.
Yeah.
And we say, well, I don't know if I trust it because the science doesn't support it. I mean, that is the most ridiculous,
yeah.
just low, I just want people to have a higher view of Scripture, because not because we want to worship the Scriptures, but because of what they are. It's God speaking, breathing life
mm-hmm.
to us. I mean, if you think of 2 Timothy 3:16, all Scripture is breathed out by God. It's God breathing. So think of it like the apostles took in the breath of the Scriptures, took in the breath, and then God breathes out through them. As they're speaking, it's just filled with the Holy Spirit. Yeah. And it's God speaking to us. And so that would be like A1 tent pole is, when it comes to being rooted in Scripture, is decide if there's an apparent contradiction between the world and the Scripture has authority.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think that gets really hard.
Yeah.
In that, when I read some things, it's in contrast with what I understand and believe and how I see the world.
Mm-hmm.
And so I have to make a decision there. Am I going to trust the word and have to accept the fact that I'm not understanding? Mm-hmm. Or do I say I understand better and I'm going to reject this part of the word?
Mm-hmm.
And I think what you're saying is to reject this part of the word is to reject what God is saying.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's not good.
I agree.
But it's hard mm-hmm. to say that.
The infinite God speaking to man, obviously there's going to be stuff we don't understand, or there's going to be stuff that we're not going to get right, or there's probably doctrines each one of us hold right now that when we get to glory, they're going to say, you know, you missed it on that one. I mean,
mm-hmm.
but again, yeah. that's the thought that we look through a mirror dimly. We don't get to know everything, yeah. but that doesn't mean we shouldn't seek and have a quest to go further and deeper and wider. And again, I want to say this pretty clearly because I think people in my camp get like, you love the Bible, but you don't believe in the Spirit. And I don't believe that. I think the Bible is the means in which God communicates to us mm-hmm. by the power of the Spirit within us. So,
yes.
So I don't want we're not worshiping the Bible here. We're saying this is the mechanism. This is the way that God decided he saw fit to give us truth. And so mm-hmm. we should know it and love it and cherish it and use it to understand the world and to better know our God and to better fellowship with the Father.
Okay. Yeah. And I, you know, if you want to hear from God, you need to be able to speak the language that he speaks. Mm-hmm. And the reality is he speaks Bible.
Yeah. So,
you know, you hear from God, and it's not
the
it doesn't
pirate
line up,
Bible.
It doesn't, oh, no. It doesn't line up with the written word, then it's probably not God.
Amen.
Oh, yeah, 100%.
If we believe that the Holy Spirit wrote the scriptures, and we do, all Orthodox Christians believe that, so why would he contradict by prophecy what he said in written word? It's just not going to happen.
Right.
That's why 1 Thessalonians 5 says, test all prophecies and hold fast to what is good or true or right. So if you're hearing some nonsense from somebody saying, the Lord gave me a word, I'm going to leave my wife today. Nope.
Nope.
God isn't schizophrenic.
That didn't happen.
No.
That never happens.
That's another desire within you, and it is not the Spirit.
Well, it's that's
a shot.
Yeah, I say, but that's
your loins.
Girding your loins.
Yeah, I could talk all about. I spent a long time teaching the youth about what does it mean to ready your mind. It means it's literally girding your loins, meaning picking up your toga and getting ready to run. So that's the word Paul used when he says,
that was great.
Yeah, girding your loins, scoop up your toga and get ready to run.
That's
why you're here.
There's a lot of
to run with a sword towards the enemy, not like
but you got a gird. Think about scooping up your toga like a man.
To make it as cool
like a man,
as possible,
like how Russell Crowe scooped up his toga. Russell Crowe scooped up a toga and ran. Okay?
That is true.
Hey, new Gladiator movie. Anyway,
but he's not in it. So
nah, that's true. It's tough.
But no, I think you were hitting a point. It's like there's a camp of us. I think some of us do it unintentionally. And that's why we have to have like the lens of the Holy Spirit. But it's like, well, we can manipulate the word to do our bidding mm-hmm. if we really wanted to. Mm-hmm. But then what's that leave us with? More lies, because it's not true. Because we're trying to adapt something that is holy, spoken out by Christ, written through people, which goes back to Genesis. He wanted to work. He wanted us to co-work with one another, right? He wanted us to walk the garden with him, learn from him, learn to love him more, and learn his ways.
People do use the scriptures for their own purposes. And sometimes they just flat miss the mark because they're in their bubble and they've been deceived in some area.
Yeah.
And the reality is if I'm not in my Bible reading, I'm not going to know when those times come, and when I hear something, I'm not going to have any backdrop to compare it to. So I might have the greatest pastor on the planet, but he might be way off base in an area, and I am not going to know. Will I learn from my pastor? Absolutely. But at the same time, I need to know some things. Yeah.
Will it really be your best life?
Yeah.
Now.
Well, that's why we're told to be Berean. Mm-hmm. Go back and check the scriptures to make sure that whoever's speaking it's
too late.
Yeah.
You got to be reading.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. You got it.
You're going to wait till after the fact to go back. No, it's too late.
Be aware, be on guard.
It's too big. You got to be constantly taking in.
Be on guard. I think
and everyone.
Oh, yeah.
There were so many times where I thought, oh, I shouldn't dare. I'm not an expert. It's like, nope, everybody's supposed to do this.
Everyone's filled with the same spirit.
That's true. These things are not, or what does it say in 1 Corinthians 2? These things are spiritually discerned. So it's not about your age mm-hmm. or your mental capacity. It's about the Spirit giving you wisdom. So.
Which is good. I don't have a lot of capacity.
There is an Old Testament scripture where it talks about a book that's going to be written. It's Old Testament, and that when it's given, people are going to say, I can't read, so it's not my fault, or it's too difficult to understand, so I'm not going to worry about it. So literally that is prophesied in the Old Testament that people would use those excuses.
Yeah.
I wish I could tell you off the top of my head where that's at.
No. I don't know either.
Okay, so we've pretty much hit ground yourself in scripture.
Yeah.
And like we got to understanding it, reflecting and meditating on it. I would say like you apply it to your life.
you. The scripture changes you. You don't change the scripture. So the second point would be seek wisdom through prayer and guidance.
I'm going to jump in because what you just said about the Bible reading, I think, is the exact same thing for prayer.
Yeah.
We don't change God's mind in prayer. God changes us.
Yes.
So in the same way that we don't come to the scripture hoping to manipulate it, we're not going to God hoping that he will manipulate, that we can manipulate him into doing something. The prayer of God, if you just get me out of this mess, I will become a monk. Or I will, or you know, God, if you do this, A plus B equals C. That's Martin Luther.
Funny
Martin,
enough, I was going to say
Martin Luther.
Yeah. Martin Luther. I looked over and saw my Luther set over there.
So making a deal with God.
Yeah.
So you got something you can bring to God.
Oh, yeah. Exactly.
Like,
I got all this good stuff over here. You're welcome. See this little part of my kingdom that you're not touching? I'm here to give this to you. No.
You see all the shelves full of rats? It's for you, God.
Yeah. But that's
are you a cat?
Maybe.
That's a big one. I here's something I'm learning about prayer right now, is that prayer, just like Bible reading, but prayer specifically, is worship.
Oh, yeah.
That our whole life is worship. Our whole life is doing things for God, for his glory, for our good, all these things. I mean, God gives us these gifts. Prayer is meant to be a worshipful act, to be able to go before him. And he is honored when we bring him our requests, but also I'm thinking about the Lord's Prayer. We say things like, your kingdom come, your will be done, saying, God, make my will your will. I mean, what's going to happen is what you want to have happen. Help me get it. And I think of Jesus in the garden. He says, if this cup could pass from me, let it be so. Otherwise, not my will, but your will. So Jesus himself was submitting to God's will in the garden and that's what he worked out through prayer. And I think for us, it's the same. We work out our salvation, not meaning that we get saved by it, but we work out this life as Christians through the crucible of reading the scriptures and going before God and working together. They work together to help make us into who God wants us to be.
100%.
I think one of the deceptions is that effective prayer, which I cringe when I hear that, because it means it usually sounds like I got my way. Mm-hmm. It had an effect. If you want effective prayer, you got to do this, this, and this. Mm-hmm. So, right? So, but that's not. There's no formula. You know, for me to become the puppeteer and God becomes the puppet. So prayer, really, I like what you said. I think effective prayer is when I change and not when I get my way.
And that doesn't mean that God doesn't answer prayer. Like, I don't want to say, ultimately it's because he's getting the glory. He's showing himself to be the one that makes it happen, not because we said the right things or did the right thing at the right time. What were you going to say? I'm sorry.
I've heard the same thing about tithing. And one time we were, that's tough. Oh, it was such a painful, it was like one of the first things that like really started changing my mind about a certain thing, but I'm not going to get into that. But
that was oddly,
it's pretty specific.
Very specifically vague.
I know. It's very specifically vague.
Don't say it. But no, we don't want to.
No, I'm going to say the thing.
Say the thing, but not the other.
But the other thing, yeah. Somebody got up and said, which one's bigger, net or
gross? Is bigger.
Gross.
Than
thank you. Okay. I tithe off of my gross because would you rather have a gross blessing or a net blessing? And I went, I don't think that's how that works.
I've heard crazy stuff about that.
Yeah. Well, we're way off topic, but
yeah.
Is this the stock market?
To give, to get.
Yeah.
Yeah. You'd like miss the mark.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
I'm not going to give anything that it didn't cost me. I'm not going to. How's David say that? I'm not going to sacrifice anything that didn't cost me something.
Yes. Well, it was like there's a lyric to a worship song. It says, "Far be it from me, I won't make offerings to my God and my King that cost me nothing." Mm-hmm. Like, it's costly faith. So yeah, on that, it has to cost something. Like,
it's different, but it's the same because we go to our prayer closet hoping that to God, if I give you this prayer, you're going to give me what I want.
I think,
which just think, first of all, he already knows what you need, so it's not like you're informing him of something he didn't already know.
He didn't go, oh really?
Oh wait a minute, you eat today?
Oh,
you're worried about you're worried about your job? Oh, I had no. This is the first I'm hearing of this. I mean, God's not like what.
Whoa. I think
you got a phone call from who?
I think it was back in the 90s. Mother Teresa had an interview with one of the big like NBC schmucks.
Waltos?
It might have been the dude.
The fact that she was still alive while NBC was doing interviews still blows my mind. But anyway.
Yes. But no, someone asked like, well, what do you do when you pray? Well, I listen. And they're like, well, what does God do when you come to pray? Well, he listens. And then he's like, what do you mean by that? He's like, well, you wouldn't get it. And I'm like, so I dug deep into it. And I was like, you go to prayer to talk with God. Mm-hmm. So he listens. And then you listen to if he's going to say something to you. Or like just, you go there to be with him. Yeah. You don't go there to like, hey, here's my laundry list of what I want. If you don't give it to me, I'm gonna stomp my feet out the door. Like it's about growing in Him and growing in, relationship with somebody, right?
Yeah.
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 Speaking of growing in relationship with somebody, you're Mr. Segway tonight. What's the third one?
Oh yeah, engaging in community and fellowship, doing this, coming together. I think you said it, Brett. You anytime, any chance you get to start talking about the Bible and to talk about God, you take it and you make it that way, and you make a segue and you make an on ramp to do that, which is good because that's what we should be.
We spend a lot of time together, and I almost never do that. So I can
do
better.
No, you do. You do it.
No, I was just thinking the other day. So what, 3 years ago, 4 years ago, you guys, my gosh, I'm sorry. you guys had a surprise little birthday party for me, and it's like when I first started to get to know you, Brett.
Yeah, it was at Table 32.
Table 32, yep. And like, we were talking.
You just turned 30.
Holy,
it was your 30th birthday.
That was 4 years ago then.
You're old.
And you're old. And you're basic.
Yesterday I turned 34, so here we are.
This is liquid death right here.
Sorry, I
derailed. Yeah, no, sorry. ADHD is real bad right now. But we were talking and asking you questions, and everything that you answered was the Bible, and you're like, sorry, there's nothing interesting about me. I just know things about the Bible. And I think it was me and Cam were both like, dude, that's great. Like, that's okay.
Yeah.
And like that's an okay thing, and you shouldn't be apologizing for it. And then we just kept talking
nerding
about
out on something ridiculous.
No, we were asking you questions specifically.
I don't remember.
And I mean, I don't remember the specific questions, but you were giving us answers, and we're like, okay, what about this? What about this? And you're like, oh, I'm so sorry. I just nerd out on the Bible. And I'm just like, yeah, that's okay. Like, don't apologize for that. And I don't think you've ever apologized since, which is great.
Yeah, I don't mess with it. Empathy is a sin. I don't mess with it. brought it all the way back.
Yeah. I don't remember.
Did you ever see that TV show on ESPN called Stump the Schwab, where they would like do random trivia facts? Mm-hmm. Sometimes I feel like I get into those conversations. I'm like,
seeking truth come. You can't be in an echo chamber by yourself trying to find truth. Like, you gotta like iron sharpens iron. Mm-hmm. You gotta like have these discussions, and you're gonna have some tense discussions, and that's good as long as you're seeking Christ and keep moving up that hill kind of thing, like with the with Pilgrim's Progress, with the burden just keeps getting lighter and lighter the more he gets up the hill, kind of thing. Like, that's what we should be doing. So
it's a deep cut.
Yeah,
the Pilgrim, that's Puritan literature. It's very nice.
Hey,
I was gonna say,
try my best,
going back to what, because you asked originally when we made the comment about the difference between an issue and a person. Mm-hmm. And you said, how do you do that?
Yeah.
At least when it comes to believers, this would be how you do that. It's talking out our faith. Hey, I read this, or hey, this is in the news. What do you think about that? And I think we can be as confident as the Bible is clear on any number of issues. And I think when those things come to pass, we should be very confident and be bold, and we should be bold for the gospel, and we should be bold about God's plan for creation and marriage and all of these issues that he's very clear on. And then there's this whole other category of issues that the Bible isn't as clear on. Things like secondary issues, like the role of, you know, how do the end times work and all that stuff that's just not as clear, you know, then that's more of an opportunity to just talk it out. And I think that is the answer, at least when it comes to helping Christians
I think it's Isaiah 1:16 or 18 says, come, let us reason together. Let's just reason. Let's talk it out. And,
yeah.
And that's, I think, the biggest thing. What I noticed, and I'll shut up, is the...
Apologize.
Don't you
well, do. I just felt like someone wanted to get it. The Bible, in the New Testament, they call them the one another passages. So
they call them what?
The one another passages. So bear one another's burdens or love one another. The implication is that you're near enough to somebody to be able to do that. I can't bear a burden I don't know about. I can't love somebody I've never met. So baked into the cake of Christianity is community. It's what the Bible assumes will be the norm. We live in kind of an individualistic society right now. Yeah. And so it's a little countercultural for us just to do what the Bible tells us to do. But I think if we're doing that, that is, I know in my own faith walk, it's most of it was caught, not taught. Like I just caught it. I picked it up by being around people. I picked up that there were, I remember the first time I met what you would call a layman, just a guy that wasn't a pastor, that like knew where stuff was in the Bible in a Bible study. I'm like, who are you, weirdo? who just knows where that is? Or a guy will say, like, I was reading my Bible this morning before I went to work. I'm like, who gets up with enough time? I mean, I'm in my 20s. I'm like, I'm not getting up more than 7 minutes before I have to be to work. You're saying these people are getting up and reading their Bibles and then going to their jobs? I thought just pastors did that. That's the kind of stuff that, for me, when it came to fellowship, like that, it was caught for me. It wasn't necessarily taught. Like, I just saw things. I was like, I want that. I want to be that. I want to know that. And so that's always been a way that the Lord sharpened me to do that.
Yeah, definite positive on community. Mm-hmm. Another aspect in that is, like, when I am reading the scriptures and I have that scripture that is, I don't get because it's the world that I know and understand is contrary to that. So how do I deal with that? When I'm in community with other believers, the kind of things can be talked about, can be thrown on the table, and we can grow, and we can grow with that.
Yeah. Well, like, and I want to learn from people that aren't like me, right? Like, I want to learn from Christians that have done it longer than I have. So then I can go back and hopefully teach the people about truth that are younger than me in the faith about truth. You know, like, you can't do that if you're not going to be willing to, like, meet with each other and grow with each other and kind of go through hard times. Like, sometimes when you get in a group of people, you have that honeymoon phase where it's just like, oh, everything's awesome. It's going so well. Like, we're just clicking. And then there's a point in time where something happens. It's like, man, these people can be unbearable, right? So it's like, we don't, like, and I'm just saying, that's
you don't have to say it to my face.
No, but there's
he definitely looked at Bryce when he said that.
Yes, I did. No,
but he really did.
But we've been, Bryce and I have been friends for a while, so
quite a while.
We get it. No,
he was unbearable for a while.
Oh yeah. Hopefully, I've come around.
I'm still unbearable.
But no, like, so it's like, it's just like any kind of relationship, like, it changes, but hopefully we hold fast to one another so that we can keep walking with each other, like, to glory, right? To find, like, not awakening and coming to the end kind of thing, but, like, keep growing in faith with one another.
Write this down. We should do a whole topic on biblical friendship.
That'd be sweet.
I think it'd be a great topic. That'd be a great topic. Write that down.
Yeah.
Write it down, Brandon.
I will
forget. Put it in the mental file cabinet.
I've got.
You're gonna forget.
I don't forget anything.
And you're not gonna listen to this. We know that. So,
that's been proven.
That's true.
So I was doing a lesson one time with young people as unbelievers, and I asked the question about basically about can I just fall into love at first sight, love at first sight kind of thing. And of course, they're teenagers, and they're all like, "Oh yeah, 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 yeah," right? And then somebody said something. I can't remember the whole concept, but somebody brought up the idea that when a baby is first born, mom, dad, grandma, grandpa, you know, they have this predisposed love for the child when it arrives.
A teenager said this?
No, yeah, they. Yes.
Wow.
Believe it, right?
Oh, I okay.
And it caught me off guard, and I started thinking about that. So, like, you made this statement, I can't love somebody that I don't know. What if I had a predisposed disposition towards loving people I don't know? How would that impact the world we live in?
It'd be biblical Christianity.
Right?
What we're supposed to be? Yeah, 100%.
My gosh.
Right?
100%.
No, that's... Oh, yeah, I mean, we come in pretty, like, on guard, right? And I think when I first started coming to Morningside Baptist, our pastor said, "You don't flinch much." I'm like, "What do you mean by that?" He's like, "You've done this before." Yeah, I'm like, "Yeah, but I'm freaked out because y'all are so nice."
That's so true.
I'm like,
I've been nice too before, and then I got hurt.
Yeah, exactly. And so I was like, what's going on here?
People keep nicing at me.
And it really hasn't, like, I mean, I don't know. Everyone's still pretty nice.
Yeah, that's true.
So I'm like, it was just, yeah, like, what if we did? Okay, fun story. My tattoo artist, he's not a Christian. But he was telling me this story. So there's a guy that roams, a homeless guy, and he's got some mental disorders. And he roams around Hamilton. You kind of see, we've all seen him. He's kind of raggedy, has a hat, kind of like, he's just like talking to himself. Yeah. I think you've seen him, but like, so.
Or his wife beater.
He might. I don't know. Maybe. Yes. Tank top.
No arms.
No feet. No.
On the tank top.
He's a buoy.
I'm trying to name it.
His name's Matt.
Yeah, okay.
He lives in the ocean. Wait, you're talking about a buoy? Anyways. You said no arms, no feet, and I was like, a buoy. Something that floats in the ocean. Yeah, oh, a bobber.
Bob.
So, yeah, so Jason was telling me about this.
Who's Jason?
My tattoo artist. I know. We all know. But
you just didn't say his name earlier. No one else knows.
Oh, I guess that's true. Yeah, sorry.
I did think Jason was the homeless guy, so I'm just trying to track with the story here.
That seems like a pretty, like, stereotypical homeless guy's name, Jason. No. So, but, maybe Phil.
Kurt. Hey, did you see that squirrel over there?
Yeah, I continue.
I'm pretty sure once you're a man of the street, you get a name like Texachusetts Glenn or something like that.
That's a good one. Yeah. You might be right. I think it was... Okay, because long story short, Jason told...
Short story long.
It is now. But so he, like, we've known each other for almost 10 years, and we've had a lot of long talks. He's known me from, like, my lowest points in my faith, too. And so, like, he was saying, he's like, my past was terrible. And he's like, just going on and on and on. But I'm like, but dude, you just told me that you went out of your way and you walked in the woods to give this dude that you don't even know, that's got mental disorders, it's homeless, you don't know what to expect, but you're going in there to help him. Like, it's a beautiful thing. Like, I'm like, you're not that bad of a person. I'm not trying to say that everyone's always good, but I was like, there's a work going on that I want to have that kind of mentality, like, that a non-believer has, that I should have. And it should be more full and more free because I'm filled with the Spirit. And it should be more like, I was like, why don't I have, like, that kind of, it made me check myself. I'm like, am I thinking a lot about myself more than others? Am I going into any situation trying to show love to others? Like, this holy love, this love that's not, it doesn't make sense kind of thing? Like, no, most of the time I'm not. I'm usually like, oh, you know, my kids are stressing me out while I'm at the store, or I have to figure out how I'm going to get to the next pay period with this little bit of money for groceries. Like, all these things. And then we're supposed to go and love those that are lost. And I was like, so I didn't tell him, and he's not going to listen to this, but it's like, possibly like, Jason, you could, like, what you said convicted me and, like, made me want to, like, switch the way I think. And I think that's when you have that lens, when you have that lens of the Spirit on you, like, I think it makes you see things differently. It makes you hear things. You're like, man, I want to do that too. Like, right.
To me, that sounds like you know the truth and you know the word and you know what God calls you to be.
Yeah.
So that's step one. That's the first tent peg we laid down.
Yeah.
And then now you're living it out, and you're walking it out, and mm-hmm. you're seeking to be who God's called you to be. And you can be convicted in a lot of funny ways
yeah.
if you know the truth, because the truth is universally truthy. So even an unbeliever can accidentally say it, but because you know the truth, it rings with you with a resonance and a yeah. frequency that they're not even hearing.
Yeah.
So we can hear truth from people that don't know what the truth is, yeah. capital T truth. But for you, what was the throwaway line for him, or some story that he told
yeah.
for who knows what reason, for you was something that reminded you what you know from what God has told you to be. So that, yeah. that's this in action. Like that yeah. is what we're talking about. Is if yeah. you know the word of the Lord and you know him well enough, you'll see him everywhere and it will help you
yes.
in your walk, and it'll convict you. And I mean, we were talking a couple of weeks ago about the homeless people, and we talked about making, like, so there's a pastor from Minnesota that instead of giving money, because he was like, I don't know what they'll do with the money. But like, what if I got a little like gospel track, like the Book of John or something, and maybe a water bottle and a food, like, and gave him like water or food, like a little like go bag. And I was stopped yesterday, and next the guy was sitting there, and I was like, I didn't have any cash, but I was like, I also didn't have any go bags. I'm like, this would be a perfect time just to be like, hey man, I don't got any money, but like, would you take this? And then like, that's what I mean. For the first time, I think ever, I had a thought where I wasn't put out by a homeless person. I was like, I wish I had the tools in my car to do what I wanted to do.
Yeah.
And that was a conviction that came from you and your wife and my wife talking at dinner one time.
Yeah.
So
what well, happens? And like, hopefully our actions are changing, like the longer we're walking in faith, you know, like
I would say hopefully our hearts are changing.
That too, yeah. Our hearts, and then our actions change from our hearts. Right. So I'm like, we would hope that's the case, mm-hmm. but it's too easy to get like sheltered, and especially like the digital age where you can kind of like,
we can church from home. Yeah. We should write that song.
In church from home.
Not hard.
Oh, I could write that. Dude. Oh yeah, I could do it.
New idea.
I'm gonna do it.
All right.
You're welcome.
But no, so like to put a bow on this thing, like just seek the truth. And that's only gonna come from the word. Hmm. You know, and it's gonna come from people around you. Find an older person to learn from that's been in the faith longer than you.
Hey Brett.
I was gonna say,
hey grandpa.
Where's this gonna go?
I'm just kidding.
Like, is
I mean,
it?
I'm not, but I am.
Yeah, okay. And so like, we separated one decade, okay?
There's not a lot of people older than me.
By the way,
Jim's the youngest.
Jim is the oldest person in this room officially.
We weren't going to sell you out. This is radio, not TV. We wouldn't have done
no
that.
No way.
TV. It's up to you to disclose. We wouldn't do that.
Yeah, like, we need to learn from others, but then we also need to be the ones to teach others, too. Uh-huh. And at some point in time, we'd be like, okay, I'm going to, like, God give me the confidence to, like, tell the truth. Even when it's uncomfortable, when it's awkward, because it's gonna be like there's something, because you're challenging people's like set in stone ways of life and ways of thought, and so you're gonna, and like what the gospel brings is countercultural. It's not like the world, and that's a good thing, because you don't want to be like the world. The world's sad, and the world's mm-hmm. not peaceful. But we can all go through current issues, like the last 4 years have been insane, and they keep getting more insane.
Yeah, why?
Because it's coming, man. Jesus.
Oh, that would be fine. Stop it. I would be just fine with that.
No, I would too.
Yeah, no, it would be much better than this.
Yeah, but it's like, so, sure. But it's just like, that's when you ask God, I'd be like, even though the world around me is in chaos, mm-hmm. help me to like prevail. Help me to keep going on, right? Did I use the right word?
You did. I just thought of something when you said it.
I prevail.
Yeah.
I thought so. But no, like, help me to keep going. Like, give me the strength for each day. Or, as Pastor Dave would say, give me the grace for this moment.
I have prayed that every day for the last 2 months. It's been a rough 2 months just because of chaos at work. But, yeah.
It's the promise of the gospel. Paul opens every one of his letters, grace to you and peace. I mean, grace and peace are two gifts that come with the gospel. They're implicit in the gospel.
Yeah.
Is that you get grace and you get peace. Peace with God, peace in our own hearts, grace, the unmerited favor of God on us in every way. Yeah. Those are byproducts of the gospel. Like, mm-hmm. The gospel isn't just get out of hell free card. Like, it is so much more than that. It is And it's even more than a relationship. It has all these other benefits. Like you have true peace and you have the grace and the strength to endure any and every hardship. And you have a father that walks with you and a savior that cares for you and a king that reigns. I mean, just so good.
Yeah.
So good.
Any final thoughts from anybody?
I'm glad Jim was here.
Me too.
Welcome to Dishon.
Yes.
Yes.
It was, welcome. It was good. Thanks.
You're coming back, right?
You better. He's still
on the plan on it.
He's the reason that we got back up and going.
Seriously.
Old, so. So he was the one that's herding all these cats. So
yeah. Who's truth be told?
Yeah, who is truth be told? My truth be told.
All right. Cool. Yeah.
All right on.
You guys are ready to wrap?
Yeah.
All right. All right. This has been Outsiders Podcast. We'll see you next time. Well, no, we won't. Well, you'll hear us next time.
We won't see you unless you send us pictures.
Don't send me pictures.
We love you. Bye.
I will block you.
Time is precious, and so are our pets. So time with our pets is extra precious. That's why we started Dutch. Dutch provides 24/7 access to licensed vets with unlimited virtual visits and follow-ups for up to 5 pets. You can message a vet at any time and schedule a video visit the same day. Our vets can even prescribe medication for many ailments, and shipping is always free. With Dutch, you'll get more time with your pets and year-round peace of mind when it comes to their vet care.
At Emory University, we are guided by a shared purpose and a spirit of collaboration. Students here push each other to think creatively and work together because we believe different perspectives lead to new ideas. We know that Emory's mission to create, preserve, teach, and apply knowledge in the service of humanity takes all of us. We do together better. Learn more at emory.edu.